just goes right along with the flow of what we've been learning in the Sunday school lesson. But I also really enjoyed the message this morning. It really touched me. The message, you know, it was encouraging and something I needed to hear. But the title of my message tonight is Finishing Our Race. And I'm going to start in 2 Timothy 4 and 7. And Brother Pepper was talking about being on the offense on football, his coach getting on to him if they's on defense very long. But I feel like I'm on the other side here of the defense. But, you know, together we're on the same team. We'll just work together and hope we get home. Looking forward to the day for the Lord return for us. In 2 Timothy 4 and 7, it says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And we are in a race. We are going through life here. We got our course to finish just like Paul had his. And, you know, I want to be faithful to the Lord and endure to the end and not quit. And that's what he did. He had that testimony, you know, when he got to the end, that he was ready to go that chopping block and lay down his life for the Lord. He knew his work was done. And I want to be faithful to the Lord just like he was. And I want to encourage someone with the words tonight, and just ask you all to pray all together with me here. The Lord just have his way here tonight. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, God, that you're working your work in our life, Lord, and you're using us, God, to reach others, Lord. We just pray, God, you touch souls, Lord, and God, anoint my mind and my heart, Lord, that I have the right words to speak. God, just have your way here, Lord. And God, we give you the praise, the glory for what you're going to do here tonight. In Jesus' name, Lord. Amen. Thank you for standing. Paul was quite an example to look for, and just like our Lord was. And, you know, we pattern our life after what he did. You know, he was just a man. We're not to worship him put him on a pedestal too high, but we are to look forward to what he did, because he was a great example of how he lived his life for the Lord, and we can learn a lot from what he did. And he pressed on all the way till he got that crown when he crossed over in glory land. And I know each and every one of us here tonight, we had that same opportunity to meet up with him there on the other side. And we get to visit with him and kind of reminisce what it was like, what he went through, and how he overcame with the Lord's help. And, you know, each of us have our own battles, and we're not all faced with the same things every day, but our temptations and trials are common to all men, but yet we face different things at different times. But the Lord is there with us, and he can help us. He'll take us through. And if we'll just keep pressing towards that mark and forget the things in the past, you know, press towards that mark, that high calling of Jesus Christ, and forget the things behind, we can make it across that finish line. And Hebrews 12 and 1, it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight of sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And it says, looking to Jesus, the author. When we get our eyes off of Jesus, that's when we get in trouble, just like the disciples there when they were in that boat in the sea there, and the waves were coming in. It looked like they were about to sink. Looks like they were fixing to perish. But Jesus just set up and said, peace, be still, and everything was changed. And he had everything under control, and it looked like it was impossible for them. But just in a moment, he made everything all right. And he does the same in our life so many times it looks like there's no way, you know, things are going to work out, things are going the wrong way. Yet Jesus is right there with us. He's helping us every bit of the way. And I thank the Lord for him and the Holy Spirit that he sent back. You know, we enjoy his presence here, and he blesses us. He's with us, inside of us, and he's alive, and he's going to be with us forever. Praise the Lord. And so I want to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the one that saves us. He's the one that brings us into his family. And he's the one that's going to take us all the way through. He's going to finish that work that he started in our life. It says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And he endured the cross. It wasn't a pleasant thing that he went through. He prayed there in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, Lord, or Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And he was constantly concerned about pleasing the Father. And yet he knew that was the reason he came here. He had to go to that cross to die in our place, that vicarious death in the place of another. He paid the penalty for our sins that we would not have to. And he made a way that opened the doors of heaven that we could make it in to be with the Father. And there's no other way to get to the Father other than through Jesus. And I'm thankful that his love, he endured that for us. And says, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. And in our mind is many times where we lose or win a battle. And Pastor was saying a little bit about that this morning. And in the past, you know, it's stuck in my mind, different messages he preached here and there. I pick up parts of it and it comes back to me, and it just blesses me. But it's just, lest you be weary and faint in your mind. When we get our thinking right, when we stay in the Word of God, we meditate on the right things, the good things, the things that have virtue and praise and thanks, all these things that he wants us to think on, it helps us and encourages us and strengthens us, and we can press on. It says, for ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Ye have forgotten, and have ye forgotten the exhortation that speaketh unto you as unto children? My son, despise thou not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. And what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? And that word scourge means to whip or to beat. You know, it's a severe punishment, and it's not something enjoyable. It is something we all need from time to time. It gets us back on the right path and gets us thinking right. And I've had my share of them in the past, and I don't regret any one of them. I'm thankful that I got each and every one that I got, and that they were beneficial to me. In verse 10 there, he says, for they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, talking about our earthly fathers, for their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. So there's a reason for that chastisement. It's for our benefit. He says, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So it brings us to that fruit that we want to bear. And without it, you know, we would not get to that point. And we all need corrected from time to time. We get off course. And I'm thankful that the Lord loves us enough that he puts us back on track. And there's not a parent that really wants to be a bully to their kids, but it's just something that we as parents, each of us, have to do to the kids, you know, to train them up in the right way. The Bible goes along with it. It says, "Not spare not the rod." You know, it's for our own benefit. In Matthew 26 and 53, it says, thinkest thou that I cannot now pray the Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels. And when Christ was on that cross, when he was going through that torture and that punishment, all the shame and mockery and people spitting in his face and beating him, you know, he says he was beat to the point you couldn't really recognize who he was, I believe, the way they described it. But anyway, said he had 12 legions of angels. I think a legion is 1,000, if I remember right. That'd be quite a few angels. And it's only going to take one angel going to come and put the devil in the bottomless pit. And that time comes. You think of 12,000 angels, what they could do, you know, and we are no match for even one angel. So he had all of that at his disposal. All he had to do was just call on him. But he did it for us. He endured it for our sake, because he looked through what he was going through, on through what it was going to accomplish. He could see the joy that it was going to produce in our lives and help us. He endured it for our sake. And John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Thank the Lord that he had that love for the world and was willing to offer his Son in our place. In Hebrews 10 and 9, says, "Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Thankful that it wasn't necessary to do it repeatedly, over and over. It was only a one-time thing he had to endure, and it accomplished what he wanted to accomplish. "And every priest standeth daily ministering, offering oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, that after that he had said before, This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities I remember no more. And now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering of for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." Praise the Lord. Thankful that God is faithful to us, and he will never leave us nor forsake us. And as long as we reach out to him, he reaches back to us. He helps us. And you know, there may be times we feel like he's 1,000 miles away and doesn't know anything about us, but yet he's right there watching every moment. He knows every need. He cares about every problem we go through. And he loves us more than we'll ever understand. And I'm just thankful for our Lord. It says, "Let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering." And the Bible says in Hebrews there, I think it's chapter 6, said, without faith it's impossible to please him. We got to come to him in faith and just believe that all the way to the end, he is going to be there. He's going to help us. In verse 35, it says, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he shall come. He that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. We are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." And I want to cross that finish line one day whenever it's the Lord's time for us to cross, you know, he's got his own timetable. We don't know the exact time. It doesn't really matter. However he wants to work it out, it's fine with me, and he doesn't have to ask my permission. But, you know, I'm just thankful that he's got it all in control, and he knows what he's doing. And all we got to do is just determine we want to stay in the family. We want to obey him and do his will, just like Jesus did the Father's will continually. He will take us through. In Luke 21:19 says, in your patience possess ye your souls. And the pastor was talking about being in a restaurant sometimes, not getting the service you deserved or felt like you wanted. You know, you were tempted to lose your temper and raise a scene, things, you know, and I've seen it more than once. And, you know, it doesn't do any good to lose your temper like that and raise a big fuss about it. You know, it does better, like the pastor said, be that witness. And the Lord uses us, said, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll be a witness. And we need to remember that and to just keep faithful to God and let him work in our life. And things doesn't have to always go perfect for us. He can use any situation. If we'll just let him have the reins and let him take over, he can work things out for our good and for those around us. In Matthew 24:3, says, and he sat upon the Mount of Olives. The disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye are not troubled. Be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up and be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. And, you know, we can look around us. We can see many of these things it's talking about right here around us, nation against nation, you know, rumors of wars. And we see earthquakes and pestilence and famine, things like these around the world. Thank the Lord it's not so much in our land. Some of the third world countries, it seems to be more prevalent, but yet there's threats even to our nation, you know, from other nations every day, you know, just looking like things could get really hairy in a hurry. But yet Jesus knows all about it. He's got everything under control. But he says, just the love of many shall wax cold, but he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. No matter what we got to go through to get home, it's going to be worth it, and he's going to be there with us, taking us through it. So I really don't care what we got to go through. It's just put it all in Jesus' hands and just trust him and live for him and let him have control, and he's going to take care of it all. In 2 Timothy 3:12, it says, yea, and all that we live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So any of us that chooses to live for the Lord, any of those that really love him, want to please him, says we shall suffer persecution. It's not a maybe or could, you know, it's going to come. But it's nothing to fear. You know, God is with us. Who he be with us or for us, who can be against us? And it's if we go at it in the right attitude, the right frame of mind, he can just strengthen us through what we go through. He'll bring us out victorious on the other side. In James 5 and 7, it says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, for the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." So it's going to take some patience. He says, be patient for the coming of the Lord. And just like that farmer, he waits for his crop. He didn't go out and plant it one day and go back and harvest it the next. It took some time. He had to work his fields, and, you know, he waited on the rain, and he probably had to fight with a few weeds and bugs and things like that along the way. But eventually the harvest showed up. And the same with us. It's going to take some patience, and we're going to have to endure some. But we're going to get to the goal that we are looking for. And the Greek word for patience is H-U-P-O-M-O-N-E. I don't know how to pronounce that, but it means endurance and perseverance. So patience equals perseverance and endurance. So there's going to be, it takes some patience to get to heaven, just like faith. You know, we got to have both. But we serve a God of endurance and of patience. He's been very patient with me, I know. And I'm sure all of us has needed his help more than once. He's always been there. And he's been merciful to me more than I can ever tell you about. But I just love him tonight. But in Psalms 100, verse 5, says, "For the Lord is good, his mercy endure is everlasting, his truth endures to all generations." So, Brother Mike, I believe, was praising the Lord for his mercy and his goodness to him, and he's that way to all of us. He's just a good God. And it says, "His mercy is everlasting, his truth endures to all generations." In Psalms 117 and verse 2, it says, Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations, praise him, all ye people, for his merciful kindness is great towards us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. And then the next verse, next chapter, says, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endures forever. And I'm thankful that he doesn't wake up in a bad mood one day and says, all that I've done for you, forget all that. It ain't going to work out anymore. I'm going to do this now. He's not that way. He forgives us, and he forgets what we've done and forgives us. It's in the past, and it's gone, and he doesn't wake up in a bad mood and decide he's going to take it out on us. He's just a God that's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thankful for his mercy. In Psalms 119, verse 160, says, "Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." And he is a righteous God. We'll never find anyone as fair as he is and treat us like we better than what we deserve. But he is good to us. In Psalms 135:13 says, "Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever. Thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations." So his mercy endures, his truth, his name. And also talks about his word. 1 Peter 1:23. I'm thankful that the Lord, his word will never pass away. And it's going to be around more than this old world's going to be. It says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." Thankful for that word. And says one key ingredient for endurance that we all can use, we all need, is 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. It's talking about charity here. It says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. Rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But where there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. And skipping down to verse 13, and now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. And we all need that love. Pastor touched on that again this morning also. You know, we all got the same rules to abide by. We got to love one another. We got to love the Lord. You know, it's two great commandments. And when we do that, you know, we're going to be better off, and everyone around us will be also. In Luke 23:34, says, then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. When Jesus was on that cross and they were doing all the cruel, ugly things to him, he looked down and says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He had a heart of compassion for them yet, despite the fact they were mistreating him and doing all they could to harm him. And they didn't realize, you know, the spirit behind them, what was leading them, how the devil was using them. But it was just fulfilling God's will that he came for that purpose. You know, if the devil knew how it was going to turn out in the end, he would have never had the Lord crucified. But it just... like planting that one seed in the ground, and many more came up. You know, that's what it was for the Christian community. All of us, there's more and more of us. And Brother Pepper was talking recently about waiters. You know, we are waiting on the Lord and just enduring and just continuing with the Lord. You know, not just sitting down and doing nothing, but we occupy till he comes. But yet we're constantly waiting for his return, looking for it, knowing that it's drawing near. And we just got to keep pressing towards that mark. In Hebrews 6:11, it says, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And so it's going to take some faith, and it's going to take some patience to endure to the end, and we inherit that promise. But it says, desires the same diligence and the full assurance of hope unto the end. That's what we all need. And we keep our eyes on Jesus, keep pressing on, and being patient and during whatever comes our way, just give God the glory. No matter how it turns out, God is there with us. He's going to help us. And you can look at the heroes in chapter 11, Hebrews. And it talked about Moses, different ones, Abraham and Rahab, all these that they mentioned, you know. They all kept their eyes on Jesus, and they just walked that same path we are walking. They had their things they had to go through, but they served the same Lord. They called out his name, and he saved them and led them on to the other side. And I'm just looking for the Lord's return. I know he's coming soon. I want to be faithful to him, and I want to cross that finish line with each of you one of these days. God bless you, and I'll turn it back to you, Pastor.